All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're joined this morning by Zelda Grimshaw, who is a spokesperson for Wage Peace, who have recently been part of a protest where they stopped work at a bullet factory in Benalla, which I think took place on April 11th. So, yeah, good morning, Zelda.
Hi, Jacob.
So can you, to give us, to start off the kind of interview, Zelda, what can you tell us about this sort of blockade of the bullet factory in Benalla? And, you know, what was the kind of purpose and the targeting of the protests?
Well, the factory up there is owned by the Australian government, so it's owned by the Defence Department. But in typical kind of corporatisation of the state style, they leased it to two private weapons manufacturers, Naya and Thales. Naya is an Australian-based company. Their headquarters are in Queensland, and Naya manufactures nearly all of the bullets that go into police guns in Australia. So that was our primary target for this blockade, was Naya, who make bullets for Australian police. And we began that campaign really after a call out from Walpri elders up at Yundamu to end the end police shooting and to get police guns out of community. So that call really resonated with us. We got in touch with them and we said, look, we know where those bullets are made. Would you like us to take action at the factory where those bullets were made? And they sort of went, hell yeah. So Naya, make bullets for the Australian police. The other company there, Thales, are a French, multi-billion dollar weapons maker. And they export a huge amount of weaponry to Indonesia from where it ends up in West Papua. So that was our other solidarity focus, was people who are being harmed by, Australian-made weapons in West Papua, and calling on Thales to, we'd like them to stop making weapons altogether, really. I think there's a lot better things we could be doing with those resources, but certainly stop exporting them to people like Kopassus, the Indonesian Special Forces, who are responsible for a lot of the worst human rights violations in West Papua. So now I've told you all about the companies. I haven't told you anything about the blockade yet.
Well, feel free to go and give us more detail about the blockade.
That's why we targeted that particular factory. So we kind of, kill two birds with one stone, Naya and Thales, both evil arms dealers, we like to call them. So a group of us went up. We actually went up the night before because we wanted to put a blockade in at that factory and prevent workers from reaching the factory in the morning. So, in effect, give workers the day off. And we did succeed in doing that. So we had the famous lizard car. People might have experienced lizard car in other blockades. Lizard car was on her sixth blockade. So that's a... very sort of highly decorated vehicle, and the wheels were taken off that, and it was chained across the front gate of the entrance road to the factory. So it was quite a hard block. There was no way that a vehicle could gain access to the factory. And that was in place by 7 a.m. So then we had a number of workers arriving at the factory, and we've got absolutely no issue with any of the workers at that factory. We were very cordial with them and said, hey, got a day off. And most people were, reasonably content with that and turned their vehicles around and went home. We then ended up putting a second barricade up because one or two, not workers but contractors, were annoyed that they couldn't get in. And one driver from Conti Dairy in Shepparton actually accelerated his vehicle towards people. Thankfully, no one was hurt. But after that happened, we put a second barricade up at the front, which we just created out of what was available on site, so mostly out of branches. We made a couple of tripods and then put a crossbar across the top, used some hay bales that were around and decorated with it with our big ceasefire banner. So we ended up with two beautiful barricades and we occupied the space in between those for 9 hours.
And talk going in a bit more into some of the kind of politics. I mean, you gave us a bit of information about Noah and Tales. And I guess I want you to talk a bit more in detail about, I guess, the links and that these corporations, these weapons manufacturers play and the role that they play in the kind of active oppression of the First Nations community and also the destruction of the environment.
Sure. Well, Naya is a Queensland company. They started off selling to recreational shooters, because apparently that's a thing, shooting for fun, and then realised that the money was in the armed forces, so started selling to Australian military and police. And then Christopher Pyne, former Defence Minister Pyne, has come on board to support Naya. So Pyne basically jumped straight out of the Defence Minister's chair and into lobbying for arms manufacturers or arms dealers. He's a lobbyist for Elbit, the biggest Israeli defence corporation, and he's also close to Naya. I think he's on the board of Naya. Naya make the bullets that go into the guns that our police carry, and our major call at this blockade was to disarm the police. We don't think we need police to be carrying guns. Ordinary police should not be carrying guns around in our communities. Obviously, First Nations people have experienced, a much higher level of police brutality and death in custody than the non-Indigenous population. But we would also argue that police bullets harm everybody. It's a risk to everybody. How many people having a mental health crisis have been shot dead by police? When what you need is care, you end up with police bullets in your body. So, Naya is, making bank off of police violence. So we're saying that's an unethical kind of business to be in. We want them to stop that business, maybe retool, make something that people actually need, solar panels or spades, or must be better uses for that metal than these little metal pellets that end up in our bodies. Carlos, Naya are not exporting yet, but they just purchased a weapons company, an American weapons company, Barrett, who manufacture sniper rifles, and Barrett are exporting to Indonesia, and we have identified Barrett weapons in West Papua. And Thales, of course, has made major coin from exporting to Indonesia over 40 years. So Thales naval guns were used at the Biak massacre in 1998, and Thales bombs are being dropped on West Papuan villages out of Boeing helicopters or Lockheed Martin helicopters. But so to answer the bigger question, I guess we see this weaponization of capital. Really, it's companies providing the coercive force to enable investment to happen, so-called investment. So in the highlands of West Papua, people would have heard of the Freeport mine, the biggest gold mine in the world. Well, now they're trying to build a second mine that will be as big, as extractive, as damaging as the first. So the first mine, they basically took the top off a sacred mountain. So that's already a cultural abomination. But then there's all the displacement that goes with that and ongoing suffering because of displacement, and then murdering anyone who resists. And all of that happens because the army are in there supporting the multinational companies. Now they're trying to build a second huge gold mine up there. I'm in a rural area and I might drop out, so I'm just giving you a heads up.
Actually, Zelda, it's Sue here, one of the co-presenters. I wanted to ask you another question. We haven't got long to go with the interview before we get to the end of the program. But under the previous government, the Scott Morrison government, Scott Morrison was driving for Australia to be one of the leading arms manufacturing nations in the world. And you know, that hadn't necessarily been the case or been put so strongly with previous governments, but there doesn't seem to have been a turning away from that by the Labor government. And we seem to have a number of military companies in Australia now, weapons producers in Australia, including some notorious Israeli weapons manufacturers. I'd just like you to comment on this because, as you said earlier, this is an abomination that resources are being used for the creation of weapons. But I'd like you to comment on that, please.
So it was actually the Turnbull government.
Oh, okay, yes. Thanks for the history.
Yeah, no worries. Who put in that 10-year plan so that we're going to become one of the top 10 weapons exporters in the world? That's their goal. It's a ridiculous goal. Like, we're nowhere near the top 10. We are in the top 10 weapons importers. So that's a pretty revolting fact that we're in the top 10 weapons importers in the world. But yes, they are pouring billions and billions into weapons production. So the multinationals are going, yee-haw, this is great. So we've got Raytheon and Boeing and Lockheed Martin, Thales, the French company, and then local companies like Naya just jumping for joy because they're getting billions of taxpayer money for nothing. They're getting all these grants to, you know, develop. Albert got $1 million from the Victorian government to do a research facility. Well, what do you think they're researching? They're a weapons manufacturer. They're researching how to make better weapons to dispossess and maim and harm more people. It's disgraceful in terms of the drain on our economy, the drain on our resources, like that $368 billion that they've just committed to give away to BAE to build nuclear submarines. I mean, I could use that $368 billion to maybe, like, repair the climate. So it's disgusting in terms of the waste and resources, but weapons are just waste. It's a 100% waste industry. The weapons are made to lay waste to communities and to ecologies, ecosystems, and they are made to become waste. The whole point of a weapon is to blow it up and destroy it. So, yeah, the human cost, the environmental cost, the economic cost, it's just a total series of negatives for us and for anyone who is on the pointy end of those weapons. So, yeah, we're trying to stop arms manufacturing altogether. Let's go for earth care, not warfare. Like, something we really need.
So Zelda, we're probably running a bit out of time now. But do you have any quick final comments that you might like to make to conclude our interview?
I guess I'd ask people to have a look at Wage Peace on social media or our website if you're interested to find out more or to go to any future actions. We do run public events every so often. If people want to come along and meet, we'd really welcome that. And I guess my final comment would be we cannot attain climate justice unless we demilitarise. So the military is the biggest emitter. Like, US military emits more greenhouse emissions than any nation. And those emissions are not counted when they do their tally of who's emitting what. Military get a free pass to emit. So it's a climate disaster, and we cannot we cannot achieve climate justice unless we demilitarise. So just asking people to bring those struggles together, one big struggle for peace on Earth and a planet that we can survive on.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Zelda. I think this has been a very good interview, and thank you very much for being on our program.
Thanks, Zelda.
Love coming on 3CR. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
All right, we're just speaking to Zelda Grimshaw from Wage Peace, who was just part of this important protest, protesting against these weapons manufacturers at a factory in Benalla in Victoria.
And just a little follow-on comment before I pass back over to you, Jacob, is that really this, you know, the development of all these weapons industries means that they're companies which have an economic interest in having in countries like Australia and US, etc., being engaged in more wars, so that things like the war in Ukraine, when Israel bombs the Palestinians, when other wars take place, are really ways of advertising weapons that have been produced by particular companies. So there's actually an economic imperative for companies to want countries to go to war against each other, and the human destruction. No one wins out of war other than private corporations and the very richest 1% of society. Ordinary working class people don't win out of any war.